We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider, presented by Crumley Roberts. Visit CrumleyRoberts.com today to find out how they can stand up for you.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. And in the entire month of April, the podcast is presented by pollen. Clouds and clouds of pollen. No, it's presented by Crumley Roberts. Look, if Adam knows one thing, it's legal trouble. Visit CrumleyRoberts.com and find out how they can stand up for you. Adam, let us all stand up this fine spring day. It's Friday.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the
Adam, what's up?
Crumley Roberts got the best deal in pod history.
Yeah, they didn't know.
I mean, that April 2021 sponsorship, we could have charged double or triple for that.
They did not know that they were walking right into the hurricane of activity that has occurred over the last week and a half.
And that money goes directly in our pockets.
Yeah.
So
I'm throwing it up in the air and letting it shower down on me right now.
But imagine that all those $100 bills, there were like triple that amount. We cut you a break this time, sir and madam, Esquire et al. But next time, you'll pay the going rate.
We're just wonderful partners together.
That's right.
So, man, we've got... Okay, so this is what we're doing today. It has been such a crazy week and a half. Like, we had a plan for what was going to happen, and that plan got blown up because we didn't anticipate Roy Williams retiring and then the Tar Heels hiring a new basketball coach. But that's what happened.
This was supposed to be a pod off day, if I'm not mistaken. No pod today.
No. But Adam, hashtag grind, hashtag no off days.
That's right.
So we're going to just kind of look back here. We're just going to, you know, Adam has let all this information soak into his brain. And we'll talk a little bit, just kind of wrap up the last week and a half of everything that's gone down. Plus, we're going to have, Adam, what a collection of interviews we have today. I mean, we have had shows before, and just really our show in total. We have a wide array of guests, a very diverse collection of people, and we do that in spades today, sir. First, Reese Davis and Jay Billis from ESPN. Of course, members of the College Game Day crew, both worked very closely with Hubert Davis, new basketball coach at Carolina, when Hubert was at ESPN. So we did not conduct these interviews, but they were done for Carolina. by Lauren George. Lauren's a terrific team member at Go Heels Productions, does a lot of work with the ACC Network for Carolina. Lauren worked previously at ESPN, so she talked to Reese Davis, Jay Billis, about Hubert Davis. We're going to take their answers. Sorry, Lauren, we're cutting you out. But we are going to take Reese and Jay's answers and just kind of play them for you. You're going to be able to follow along with what's happening and what they're talking about. So you're going to hear from both of them talking about Hubert Davis and their time with Coach Davis when he was at ESPN. Then, Adam, this is really stunning that our talent acquisition manager, our TAM, was able to get this interview. Nikki Carr. Who is Nikki Carr, you say? Adam, what if I said this? Sprinkles!
Nikki Carr is one of the members of Tag Team?
Nikki Carr is the mom in the Scoop There It Is commercial.
Now I know who you're talking about.
And we have Nikki Carr on the show giving us the inside scoop on the Scoop There It Is commercial. And we had a blast talking to her. Neither one of the, you know, the Jay and Reese stuff's about 10 minutes. Our conversation with Nikki was about 10 minutes, maybe a little longer. So neither one of them are super long, but I think you're going to enjoy both of them. Or all three of them, really.
I can't imagine there's another podcast on the Apple Podcast Store that has ever had
these. Or Stitcher or Spotify.
Yes. Or the Google Android Play Store that has ever had these three people on together.
No,
I can't think that's ever
happened. We're breaking new ground here today on this podcast.
I think that's right.
So all of that's coming up, plus 5-second challenge. Adam's got a tough one today.
Mm.
I am excited about this one.
Oh, boy.
I think you'll do okay. You're going to get a couple.
That's good.
Adam, do you have a list?
I do.
We also have a story time today.
We do.
That is about Hubert Davis. And we have... I'm still trying to decide if it's going to be a how can you justify that. It probably will be.
Mm.
That we'll get to as well. All of that coming up.
Chocolate peanut butter cookie dough.
We're brought to you in part by LS Tractor. Don't let your outside chores or projects, of which I have had many lately, Adam.
Rough time for the outdoor projects.
Well, if you're from North Carolina, you know what I'm about to say. Or you're gonna know what I'm talking about. There's that one day in spring every year. We're like, you could kind of feel the pollen was coming. You could feel it coming. And then all of a sudden, there's one day where the pollen just explodes. And that day was Monday of this week. And it's been dominating our life. We know Tim Cross, Tar Heel football defensive line coach, does not like the pollen. It cannot get this work. And it has just been dominating the week outside, Adam.
Whenever I see pollen, I think of Tim Cross.
Yeah.
And I think you pollen molecules are just lucky that Tim Cross isn't here right now, yeah, or you'd be out.
He'd show you what up. He's too busy getting these Tar Heels ready to go.
Yep.
Well, LS Tractor will make short work of those projects so you don't have to stay out in the pollen very long. Normal yard maintenance to bigger jobs as well. LS Tractor has the machine for you. The website is lstractorusa.com. LS Tractor, what's it about for you?
You know one thing I've noticed?
Please tell us, Adam.
Last year at this time, we weren't fully in mask mode just yet.
That's right.
The masks do help with the pollen.
Yeah, they do.
Do you think we'll ever decide maybe we should go masks in like late March, early April in North Carolina? It helps. It makes your lungs feel better.
Yeah.
But I don't know that next year at this time, A, that I'll remember that. B, that I'll know where my masks are.
Mark it. Someone mark this. That in early April of 2021, mark this and remind Adam about this 1 year from today.
Or C, will I feel like it looks weird?
Let's not remind me that I said I would, quote, eat my column if Baylor won the national title. Don't remind me of that. Which, by the way, Adam, What an absolute smoking that was by Baylor of Gonzaga on Monday night.
The Bears played well from start to finish.
Well, to me, it was apparent in like the first 90 seconds. Like, you know, sometimes teams jump out to big leads. We've seen it, both Carolina do it and other teams do it, and that it doesn't really mean anything. I thought that was a meaningful first couple of minutes because you could tell Baylor was so much more athletic than Gonzaga was, and it was affecting what was happening and continued to affect the game for the entire 40 minutes.
I will say I don't like to take offense at our very close personal friend Jim Nance, but when he was talking during that game about how he wasn't sure if he had ever seen such a dominating championship performance, I did have to say to the television and to our close personal friend Jim Nance, who I think could hear me, how about 2009 Tar Heels, Jim Nance?
Yeah.
That was pretty dominating performance. That game was over at halftime.
His classiness was probably just clouding his mind.
I think he just wanted to make Baylor feel good and didn't want to taint their accomplishments with a past accomplishment.
We're in for a heck of a ball game this afternoon. You're right, Jim. We are. We are in for a heck of a ball game, sir. So classy. Adam, I just thought before we get to our interviews, it might be worth just, as I mentioned, just kind of recapping our thoughts from the last week. Of course, we've had a billion podcasts and interviews, and we've hope you watched the streaming show yesterday. I mean, we've had a lot of stuff that we've given to you and hope you've been able to enjoy some of that or all of that, and it's helped you get a better feel for what's been going on this week. And to me, Adam, I think the number one thing that stood out to me the most was the depth of the relationship between Roy Williams and Hubert Davis. Because I think, and we've said this on other mediums, but we knew, and we talked about this on the last podcast, we knew that they had a relationship and a connection as to people and friends and coworkers, et cetera. But the depth of that has become so much more apparent and far greater than I understood it to be.
On both sides, I think I knew, like you said, I knew Coach Williams felt strongly about Coach Davis, and I guess I pretty much figured it was mutual, but there was no way you could look at them both up at the podium and in the audience as Coach Williams was and just watch them talk about and listen to each other and not see how strongly they felt. But, Jones, we did know it from the court naming.
Yeah,
that should have been the clue. It was right there in front of us the whole time, because that was pretty powerful that evening at the Smith Center. And I had just sort of pushed it aside to being, well, it was a very emotional night all the way around. A lot of things happening. I think that's how they feel about each other 365 days a year.
I know I've referenced it several times before in the past. I think it's even crazier now that Hubert Davis is the new head coach of the Tar Heels, that Hubert Davis, Roy Williams, and I sang happy birthday to Roy Williams' grandson. What a weird moment in time that was.
I mean, that's two of the five head coaches since 1961.
Yeah, and me.
And Jones singing happy birthday on the microphone in front of hundreds of lettermen. Yeah.
Coach Doherty, just get up here. We need some more. We need some more. Coach Guthridge, come on. We need some more singers.
And you didn't know he was going to ask you to do that.
No, did not. We got asked by somebody, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was, if there was video of that event. And I do think there was kind of a recap video put out, but that was, I mean, a couple of years ago now. I don't think there is full video of the event, but there was kind of a recap of the evening that was put out after it was over.
And I think the recap that I saw, because I looked for this same thing because I was looking for Hubert Davis's speech, is on the UNC Athletics YouTube feed, and it's a recap of the entire weekend. So you get some of that night, you get some of the pickup games, you get some of the sort of barbecue type thing that was had. So it's about 6 minutes or so. There's some stories on GoHeels.com, but they're not complete transcripts of what was said.
Oh, I thought that's how you just did it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, total side note here, but that UNC Athletics YouTube page getting beefed up. There's a lot of stuff on there. We encourage you to subscribe. All the streaming shows go on there from our point of view. So most anything that we do video-wise goes up on there. If you're interested in an easy way to follow it, you can just follow the feed, and it'll give you updates, of course, every time that something's sent out. So we encourage you to check that out.
The kids use YouTube much differently than I do.
Yes.
I use it for things that occurred in the past that I think might be on there. To them, it's like a television channel.
Absolutely. Adam, I think now it is hard to think that anything that could have happened over the last 4 or 5 days since Hubert Davis was named the head coach could have gone much better. I think everything that's happened has been positive. I also think that now you're kind of settling in. Everybody, the shock of the event, the adrenaline rush of figuring out who the new coach is, just all those different things are, especially by the beginning of next week, are going to wear off. And so now there's some very important administrative things that you need from your head coach. And the staff is a big part of it, and there's a ton of reports out there about who's going to be hired for the Tar Heel staff. Hubert Davis has said that he wants it to be all former Carolina players. That's a big part of it. The recruiting aspect is an enormous part of it, I think, especially in the immediate future, the transfer portal. And we know for sure that Hubert Davis has said that he wants Walker Kessler. And by the way, I think some people have asked why he could directly say that. So Walker Kessler is still on scholarship at Carolina. He is still technically, you know, a Tar Heel. He is in the transfer portal, but he is still on scholarship. He is still technically a member of Carolina's team. So Hubert Davis can say that publicly and it not be some kind of violation or, you know, there's some other guys in the transfer portal that he couldn't have gone up there and said, I want Adam Lucas on our team. But he can do that with Walker Kessler.
Need shooters, not screeners.
Right.
Yeah, you think of the transfer portal as free agency kind of, but it's really not the same because you're in the transfer portal, but you're still taking classes at your original place.
Right.
And in a normal year, you'd still be on campus going to from classroom to classroom each day. It just happens to be that this year is different and not a lot of folks are actually here.
But so I guess the bigger point is there's some really important things that have to get figured out here in the next, I'll say, month of Hubert Davis's tenure. And I think you made a really good point not to solely judge Hubert Davis as a recruiter or as a head coach on whether or not Walker Kessler decides to come back to Carolina. I think it will be viewed that way in some ways, fairly or unfairly. I think that's an enormous first piece, but I think all these things are going to be worth just continuing to check the temperature of how does Carolina fill out its roster for just, we're just talking about for next season, because Tar Heels have four, and this isn't even, we haven't even talked about Armando Bacot yet, but including, if you include Armando Bacot on next year's team, Carolina has four scholarships to give out. That's a lot. And so, yeah, how do they fill out those spots? How does the staff eventually settle in and get filled out? These are just really important things that need to get finalized.
I think the thing about Kessler is that the verdict is not, does he come back to Carolina or not? The verdict is Carolina got back in the door because that wasn't an option at all 2 weeks ago. He was out the door and the door was shut. So the first verdict on Hubert Davis's recruiting ability is the Kessler family being willing to listen to him talk. Now, does Walker Kessler come back here? Don't know. And I think you have to keep in mind that this is not a recruiting battle in which everyone starts at the same starting line, going to the same finish line. You don't know how far down the racetrack those other programs are. And I think there's a chance they may be a little farther along than perhaps a normal recruiting process would be. And if that's the case, that's too much to make up in a small amount of time, no matter who you are. So that's a very complex, that's not a normal recruitment, and that doesn't tell you everything about Hubert Davis as a recruiter.
And it's not even a normal transfer portal relationship.
No. So let's see how the roster looks on what's the new day where I can tell who's going to actually be on the team? Like June 1st? July 1st?
Sure.
I think maybe June 1st. That's probably safe. Let's see how the roster looks on June 1st and then go from there. And you've got to remember, is in-person recruiting going to open back up again on June 1st? It sounds like it probably is. So that's going to be a whole separate category of discussion that Coach Davis and his staff will have to go out and do, and that'll be very different. So just a lot of pieces. Looking forward to seeing the staff, because that clearly was something that was important to Hubert Davis. So looking forward to see not just them individually, but I think what we've seen with all the really good staffs Carolina's had, both in football and basketball, the two main sports you think about, it's also how they work together. And what areas does Hubert Davis feel like perhaps he's not as strong, that he wants someone who is really strong in that area to make sure that you're covering everything as a whole? And so I think that'll be interesting to see.
But before we move on, I'll be interested, the whole thing with Coach Williams's office, I'll be interested to see how that evolves, because I think it's a nice thought. And it was an impactful moment in that press conference. And I think it summed up what Hubert Davis, how he feels about Roy Williams. I think when you get down to the kind of the nuts and bolts of like the actual practicality of it, I think eventually Hubert Davis needs to go into that office. And he may not. I mean, I'm acting like I know more about this than Hubert Davis does. Of course I don't, but I mean, maybe he doesn't feel that way at this moment. But am I crazy for thinking that, Adam? That
no.
Eventually you're probably going to need a little more space, because maybe a recruit and his family is going to, and I mean, obviously Carolina has lounges and things, but I mean, I would assume that eventually he's going to want to do that.
Well, let's just think about the logistics of this. If Coach Williams keeps his office, that means you're down one office. Where's new assistant? Where's the new Hubert Davis? Where's his office?
Right.
Is he got to sit in the parking lot? So I feel sure the Tar Heels can find some space if needed.
Sure.
They'll put a pod out in the parking lot and work out there.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed brand new Pod World headquarters for the last year plus, but now we need it back.
So I do think a great gesture, but I also think there'll be a time where Roy Williams doesn't want that office and it'll feel not quite right to him, or he won't be there frequently enough to feel like he's getting enough out of it.
Right. I mean, on Tuesday,
right,
it was a very feel good and understandable moment, but in 20 Tuesdays from now, I think maybe that will feel a little different.
Well, and I think the whole thing came from Coach Davis thinking that Coach Williams was packing up his office.
Yeah.
And that did feel weird on Tuesday.
You want a little side note? He was talking to us.
Yeah. I didn't know if I was supposed to let the cat out of the bag. But so that did, on Tuesday, it did feel weird that Roy Williams would like put his stuff in a box and go put it in the trunk of his car. Like Stoney walks him to his car. So that did feel like, I wonder if I understand what the words Coach Davis said were. I wonder if what he meant was do that on your own, at whatever time feels right to you. But it doesn't have to be today. I'm not moving into that office today. As we know, moving in and out of offices has been a bit of a point of contention in Carolina basketball in recent transitions. Or not recent transitions, but past transitions. So absolutely the right thing to say. I don't think it'll actually work out that way. But if Roy Williams wants an office at the Smith Center, make him one wherever he wants. If he wants one at every athletic facility and at Chapel Hill, make him one. It doesn't necessarily have to be that one.
Adam, anything else? I mean, just as you've had a little bit of time to think about stuff that has stood out to you or that you are interested in seeing how it develops moving forward, anything like that?
I think one thing that I just hope people don't misunderstand is when Hubert Davis says, you have to be a Carolina guy to be on his staff. It's not like you've then limited the pool to a bunch of idiots or something. I mean, that's a very strong candidate pool that would be strong candidates anywhere other than probably a couple places. So you still have a really good group to choose from. We don't know who he'll choose, of course.
No way to know.
Impossible to tell. You have to just go through the record book and look at all the Lettermen and see. But that you can put together a very strong coaching staff out of just Carolina guys. And so I don't think it's right to think whoever ends up on the staff, oh, well, they just got this because they're a Carolina guy. Well, they could go get other jobs. It's that they would like to work here.
So certainly it has been, I mean, we're going to look back on this week in a couple of years and think, oof, well, that was crazy. There was a lot going on. What an important time. And again, hard to argue that there is anything that you would want to happen differently since the announcement was made. There are still a ton of things that have to happen to see where Carolina goes into the future. But I think for week one, thumbs up emoji.
I think the one thing I hope people keep in mind, and this is coming off some of the recent criticism of Roy Williams, think about how much you like Hubert Davis right now. Whenever he eventually does something you don't like, probably on the basketball court, because he will. He doesn't call timeout when you think, or the Tar Heels miss free throws, which we all know is the head coach's fault. Then he's still the same guy you like right now. So when you're criticizing him, which we know you're going to do because that's part of being a fan, just try to keep in mind, like, oh, I remember how much I like that guy and what how strong I thought his character was and just all the qualities he brought to the job. And maybe temper your criticism with that in mind. You can criticize him for doing things you don't like basketball-wise, but it doesn't have to be, well, this guy's an idiot. I've always said he didn't know anything. You haven't always said that. This week you loved him. And I understand that a coaching hire is like buying a new car or something. Like, as soon as you drive it off the lot, that's the greatest it's ever been. And then once you make the right turn at the stoplight, it's gone down a little bit. Hubert Davis is still like on the lot getting shined up by the employees of the dealership. And next week he's going to turn out onto the road. And at that point, you'll never be as popular as you are right this very second. And just keep in mind, there's reasons you believe he's the right guy right now. And that has nothing to do with when he calls timeouts.
Quick reminder. Oh, this weather. You know where it makes me want to go, Adam. Piner's Resort. Donald Ross's masterpiece number 2 is there, of course, but so is Gil Hance's stunning redesign of number 4. Adam, did you know it was named the best new course you can play by Golf Magazine recently?
What?
Yep. I hadn't reminded you about that in the last couple of weeks. I just wanted to make sure you were still on top of it. There's the fun short course, the Cradle, North and South Bar, bourbons, whiskey, scotches, Pinehurst Brewing Company, beers, and barbecue. There's never been more to discover at the Cradle of American Golf than right now. Right this exact second. Pinehurst.com. Plan your visit.
How does it work out there? So is this a big weekend for Pinehurst? Because it's the Masters. I know that because I'm a big golf fan.
Sure.
Do people go out and like play in the morning and then they want to watch TV in the afternoon?
I think what traditionally happens, well, I would assume, yes, that happens. I also think that next week will be a really big week because a lot of cashes like you, Adam,
right,
will watch. And then you're going to go, you know what? I want to go out to the range, hit a few balls.
Right.
And then you're... back hurts too badly the next day, and you're like, now I remember why I don't do this. I now remember I'm not a fine-tuned athlete like Jones is.
Well, we know from Caleb Presley that you can go from not playing at all to being basically on the fringe of the PGA Tour.
Right. He's the path is in front of him.
Right.
And before we get to our interviews, I do just want to mention football because it's just, especially this week, it's just kind of gotten lost in the shuffle with so much going on. I will say this. I haven't been to as many spring practices as I would like to this point because of everything that's been happening. I went one day this week, and Adam, the Tar Heels, they look different. They look different in their uniforms, and it's the freshmen primarily that are doing that. I mean, like Power Eccles, yeah. He looks like he can play football. Keyshawn Silver, Ra-Ra Dilworth, Caleb Hood. I mean, you equals ballers. It's as far as I'm concerned, Adam. I tell you, dude, they look good. They just physically. Now, obviously, they're freshmen and things are going to happen and they need to learn a lot and all those things. Carolina looks good right now.
Right now, when there's no other team.
Yeah, that's right.
Teams do look good.
Yeah.
I think the exciting thing about all those guys you just mentioned is they're not going to have to play right away. It's not like you're bringing them in to start.
And they don't have to play 80 snaps.
Right.
They can play 20 snaps.
Right.
And I think the depth, especially on defense, is a lot different than it has been. And the quality of depth on defense is a lot different. I am excited for the Tar Heels, Adam. Stay healthy. Get your work in. And buckle up.
Look both ways before you cross the street.
Yes. Josh Downs, you just keep yourself in bubble wrap, sir. Sam Howell, don't talk or touch anyone. You just stay by yourself.
Enjoy college.
Yeah, that's right.
April 24th, spring game.
Yeah.
3 o'clock.
And, Adam, I'm glad you mentioned that. We have the week of the spring game. We're going to have a big Carolina football spring streaming show, like our Orange Bowl preview that we did in early January. Woo, January. Woo! In early January.
How's eighth grade going?
Yeah. I am looking forward to recess, Adam. So we're going to have a big streaming show where we kind of just talk about the spring. We'll have a bunch of cool interviews on there, and so we're looking forward to that.
You seem very confident about the content of that show, and I'm looking forward to seeing it all come together.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know what else is going to happen, Adam? Our interviews. So first you're going to hear from Reese Davis and Jay Billis. Again, this was something that was done kind of just in general for Carolina to talk about Hubert Davis. They gave us the clearance to use this in any way that we wanted. So we're going to just take the audio of some of these comments from Reese Davis and Jay Billis from ESPN about Hubert Davis. Then we're going to transition right into that to our conversation with Nikki Carr from the Scoop There It Is commercial. What more could you ask for here on the Carolina Insider?
As nice a person and as high a character person as I've ever been around. He's got that infectious laugh. He's got a way of making people around him feel as if they are the most important person in the room. And I think a lot of people do that and they're able to make you feel that way. The difference is that Hubert genuinely approaches relationships that way. And it's easy, he's an easy guy to root for. He's really bright. He's, he's fiercely competitive, and I think he's just going to be a sensational coach at North Carolina.
There's very little that you can say about Hubert that wouldn't be glowing. He's as good a guy as I've ever met. He's a ridiculously good husband and father, to the point where you feel inadequate with the way he treats his wife, Leslie, and puts his family first. And I thought he was such a great teammate for us at ESPN. And there was nothing better than, to Reese's point, that when he would laugh, the whole room would laugh with him, because it's just infectious. And yet when there was something competitive, there was time to kind of furrow your brow and get to it. He's a cutthroat competitor, but always has things in the proper perspective. And I obviously love Hubert as a friend and as a colleague, but he's one of those people that I admire as well. He's actually been a great role model in a lot of ways for me. Oh, there's so many memorable moments. I think when, we've always had kind of a push-pull with game day, maybe, and ESPN of being asked to do things that are entertaining, but that we might not feel are kind of appropriate for us and maybe the way we view ourselves. So Hubert and I used to laugh all the time about I'm not doing that. I'm not a clown, and we would say that privately. And then one time at Duke, during halftime of the game, I had been asked if I would go out and ride the students like on a surfboard, like the mascot normally does. And I said I would do it. And so I went out there, but I didn't tell Reese or Hubert. And as soon as I came off the floor after having completed that, Hubert was the first one mocking me, saying, "Oh, I'm not a clown. I'll never do that." And just laughing at me. And I thought it was the best thing. I mean, the fact that, you know, we could needle each other and have a good time. And he's just a wonderful guy and so easy to be around. And that's one I'll never forget.
I was standing beside Hubert when Jay made his appearance on the surfboard. And the background to the story is that they had both been asked to perhaps dress like Speedo Guy during college game day to distract free throw shooters, and they both declined, and understandably so. But I mean, Hubert was yelling from the stands and Cameron Indoor, Oh, I'm not a clown, but I'll ride a surfboard over people. You know, I got a chance to travel with him and do games a lot with him during his time at ESPN as well. And to Jay's point about being dedicated to the family, Hubert would drive in. He preferred to drive a lot of times rather than fly to some of the places we went in the ACC. And he would drive in and, you know, do great work and then get home as quickly as he could because he wanted to be with his family. But, you know, just an unbelievable teammate, a great friend, a guy that you can completely trust. And I know Jay feels the same way. We've had a number of conversations over the years about things that, you know, were really deep and insightful and personal. And man, he's just the epitome of trustworthiness and someone that you would trust your child with to be in the formative times of his life as a college basketball player and as a young man. I can't think of a better person to shepherd young people as they make that transition period into a full-fledged adulthood. Jay and I talk about this a lot. They're not really kids anymore, but as they're making that move into full-fledged adulthood when so much of their life is going to change over the time that they have as college basketball players, can't think of a better person to be able to do that in addition to making them the best player they can possibly be. I think that it was that even though he was a great shooter, it wasn't just about that to him. He was always curious to learn things. I guess thinking about Baylor winning the national championship last night, I remember he was always really intrigued by at that time when Scott Drew was using a lot of zone. And he would really study and talk about the intricacies of that particular zone defense that Baylor was using at the time. It's something that might have not been a thing that he had in his background as a player at North Carolina or whatever. And he was always really deeply curious about the game and wanted to talk about it. And, you know, he would talk about shooting strokes. And I've seen him, work with North Carolina shooters over the last several years. And I think you can just learn a lot about his passion for the game and not being entrenched in what he's already known and continuing to be curious about learning different ways to attack things from a strategic standpoint.
Yeah, I think for Hubert, you know, his knowledge of the game is unmatched. He's played in the NBA and played for so many great coaches in the NBA and then played for Dean Smith and has worked with Roy Williams. So he knows the Carolina system in and out. I think one of the things that impressed me most was how much he wanted to study how other coaches taught and what their philosophies were. And part of that was to maybe learn something new because, you know, all of us learn the game a certain way. And you tend to think that the way you learned it is the only way. I don't think Hubert ever believed that. He just thought it was the best way. But it also, spending so much time around other coaches and in meetings and practices, I think helped him think about other ways to teach something or convey something. And maybe even stress test his own beliefs to where he would say, you know what, that's really good. But the way I see it is better. And that's valuable too. Hubert's really humble. Like he's, and I mean that in the way that he's got very deep-rooted beliefs, but he's accepting that there are other ways to do it. And that's, I think that's a really valuable thing.
I would say the thing that Carolina can look forward to from their head coach is they can take the under on cuss words, no matter what the number is. You can set it at 0.5. I don't think Bejeebies Aloisies qualifies as an actual curse word. So I know there was a time when I think Roy would allow himself 7 a season. Carolina fans can take the under on that. But I do think that they can expect an unbridled passion and absolute love for the program and for the players who are in it at the moment, not just the history and the tradition, but the guys who are playing then. And they can expect all of that, and they can expect a person of the highest character who I think is going to win at a very high level as well.
Yeah, I don't know that I can tell Carolina fans what they're gonna see, because I think they already know Hubert. He has already proven it, and he'll prove it again. So to me, whatever I would say would pale in comparison to what Hubert has been, what he is, and what he's going to do at Carolina. He's the real deal. He's the real deal on the court. He's the real deal off the court. In the boardroom, in the locker room, you name it, he's the real thing.
Over the last, say, 2-3 weeks, we've talked a lot of basketball, and there have been a lot of stars that we've seen during the NCAA tournament. There has been no bigger star than our guest today, Nikki Carr. Wait, who is that, you might be saying? Nikki Carr? I'm not sure I know her. Yes, you do. And we have talked about her a significant amount on this podcast. All I need to say is scoop, there it is.
Yeah, that's right. Sprinkles.
And I think you know who I'm talking about. She is the star of the commercial that has captured the nation over these last few weeks. Aww. Nikki, thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Did you know as soon as you recorded this spot that this thing was going to catch on like wildfire?
I did not. I had no clue. I actually broke down and started crying because it was a very long day and it probably was just exhaustion. But I knew it was something because the crew, the boom operator was laughing, the gentlemen who were doing the turnarounds for the cake icing that looked like ice cream, they were like, even the wardrobe lady was like, Nikki, y'all are killing it. Everybody was.
Nikki, tell us a little bit. So I want to know about you. Like, how long have you been doing this? Is this your full-time career? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
My full-time career is also, I also work in higher education. I work for Georgia State, and I am also a student. I used to be an advisor at USC. But I'm also an actor because Martin Scorsese and Denzel have not called me yet. Hello, my phone still works. But so I had to get a real job, and I finished my master's in counseling, and I went back to get a degree in film, what I've always wanted.
So how did you get hooked up with this Geico Scoop There It Is commercial?
I auditioned for it. My agent sent over an audition notice. And just like with all my auditions, if I can get it in time, I submit. And I the crazy part is a friend of mine came over and he helped me. And I missed a part where I'm supposed to acknowledge the daughter. In the breakdown, it says it. So I get the audition notice from my agent. And I was like, oh, snap, I forgot to do it. So he left. He left to go watch a football game. So then for the next 2 hours or so, I ripped the audio from the first take we did, and I just looped it over and over and over again. So that was between 9 and 11. I think I did about 50 different takes. My dog is looking at me like, Mommy, I got to go to the bathroom. Hurry up. And so, yeah, and I turned it in. It was super late, and I just left it all reckless abandon. Just what they get is what they're going to get. And a couple of days later, I got a callback information. It was on election day. I was like, this is amazing. I was shooting a short film while I was at work. Don't tell my boss if she happens to listen to this. But I was shooting a class project and I got the notice. The next day I had the call back right before my class, because we were meeting online. I did it. They gave me some redirects, and it was, then the next day I found I got put on hold, like a first refusal. And then that Friday I found out I booked it.
And so what would year 2000 Nikki have thought about year 2021 Nikki hanging out with Tag Team?
Oh, I wish your viewers could see my eyes. Like, you said 2000?
Yeah, so what would you have thought about 20 years ago if you were told that you could hang out with Tag Team one day? Look, it's everybody's dream, Nikki. That's what we're saying.
Right, because that song, so I went to college in Virginia, St. Paul's College in Lawrenceville, Virginia, and that song was my gym jam in 1993.
There you go.
As a junior, my gym jam. And all I can say is 2000, Nikki, I was teaching in Baltimore, Maryland. I was teaching in Washington, D.C. in 2000.
Nikki, you've been all over the place.
I'm a native New Yorker. I've been, you know, I love traveling, whatever. No, I don't. I hate moving. I hate packing and doing all that. But anyway, year 2020, Nikki was, she was just trying to make a difference in the lives of these children in Washington, D.C. And I was dancing with the students. I was, you know, doing plays and talking in different accents and all type of different things to keep the students engaged, you know? So I was always an entertainer. They would always say, Miss Jameson, you're so crazy. No, I'm not. I just like having fun.
Nikki, this was something that we talked about on the podcast. We tried to break this down. How many times did they do the part where the guy from Tag Team threw the sprinkles in the air and yelled sprinkles? Because I have to imagine that having to clean that up all the time after every take would have been a big bummer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe five, less than five.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I would say that, less than five, because they were coming in with the handheld bag and sweeping and scooping it like this and getting it out, because the cameras can pick up everything. I had a sprinkle in my hair, and it was like, just the makeup lady was like, you know, get this out your head. Even though we were in a corner dance, it was fun. It was fun. I mean, yeah, it was great.
Did you know the actor who played the husband? Because you two are electric together on camera.
I was getting ready to say that, but I was like, Nikki, stick to the question. Yes. When Goolsbee and I, his name is Anthony Goolsbee, and Amethyst, the daughter, the three of us actually knew each other because we are part of this improv group in Atlanta with the Village Theater called People of Color Improv Group. And we pay homage to TLC.
Oh.
And we're called Crazy Sexy Cool. So the three of us had worked together maybe back in 2019 and 2020, because I ended up leaving. But we worked together. We knew each other, like we knew the rhythm of each other. So when we saw that everyone had booked the names on the email, we were like, hey, we're working together. So we were like, Mark Kendall, who's the director of the troupe, we just shouted him out and just loved on him, because if it wasn't for him, none of us would have met. So the chemistry that Goolsbee and I had, we had done a couple of improv scenes together. And he's quick on his feet. He's a brilliant, brilliant-minded actor. He actually teaches improv too. But when we were doing that dance in the background when he was yelling sprinkles, Goolsbee and I had practiced it one time. And then the next time they shot it, and that's what you got.
Okay, so that's what I was gonna ask. Did you get any direction on the dancing, or did they just tell you to just be Nikki?
So the problem is Nikki in third person. Nikki is a dancer, right? So the director, Dan, was like, Nick, I know that it's hard for you not to dance, but I really need for you not to dance. I want dorky mom. So it was hard. So with Goolsbee and I, he had said, hey, we just want y'all two to dance together. So we had tried to bump we had tried the prep or the snake or whatever, just doing things. He had actually done an MC Hammer from one end of the counter to the other. So he was going in and out of the shot. So I wish they would have used that. But he was like, no, we want y'all to dance together. So they just, so I asked Ghouls, do you know Kid and Play? He's like, yeah. I was like, come on, let's practice it. So if you actually look at the commercial in slow motion, you'll see my mouth is kind of open. I'm counting the steps. I'm like, okay, back one, back two, back. All right, kick turn. And then that's when you can see it, you can see me counting. It's just, we're just bomb. We just bomb working together.
Nikki, how many times have you seen the commercial and are you tired of seeing the commercial?
I've only seen the commercial, honest to God, 5 times.
Wow.
Maybe 4 or 5.
Okay.
I don't watch TV because as a student, my professor doesn't want to hear my thesis isn't done because I was watching TV. You know what I mean? So, I mean, on TV, I've only seen it maybe 4 or 5 times, but on the internet, I'm in that count of 14 million plus.
There you go.
I've watched it over and over again. And I'm watching it in amazement, like, wow, this really happened for me.
When was the first time somebody came up to you at the grocery store or something and said, Scoop, there it is, and started doing the dance?
I actually went up to someone on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, and I was at the grocery store, and the checkout clerk, she was just looking so down. I was like, well, you know, I said, it's the end of the year. I know you're working hard. She's like, I'm really tired. You know, people are coming in, but I'm thankful I got a job. And I was like, well, that's cool. I'm glad you're here, but wait, I'm gonna make you smile. She said, what? I said, hey, have you seen this Geico commercial where they're that girl? Yes, I've seen that. Yes, it's text. So I pulled down my mask and I was like, that's me. And she said, oh my gosh. The customers turned around. She's like, she's on TV. I was like, but I'm still Nikki, your customer. You always see me. So I rarely get it because I'm wearing a mask. Wait, there was one time. Oh my gosh. I went into Macy's to buy a skirt or something. I don't know. Spending money I ain't got. And so the lady,
no, hey, Nikki,
past,
don't say that. Nikki, you got that
don't
money.
That.
You're in
don't
that commercial
that.
Now.
Don't do that. Don't do that. I open up a can of worms. That's why I said, don't do that. Edit that out. So the lady was like, wait, are you in that commercial? And I said, yes, ma'am. She's like, my daughter loves it. My granddaughter loves it. So only a few.
All right, Nikki, before we let you go. So we are a Carolina athletics-based podcast. What do you know anything at all about the Tar Heels, about Carolina athletics? Does it register in Nikki's life at all?
It does. First, but just let me tell you about Chapel Hill. My grandmother, she lived in Warrenton, North Carolina. And the hospital in Chapel Hill cared for her. Oh, I'm not going to cry. I'm so emotional. The hospital at UNC Chapel Hill, there is a UNC Chapel Hill.
Absolutely. Memorial. Yeah, it's right across the street.
That hospital cared for my grandmother. Her name was Helen Davis Pinckney. Unfortunately, she passed away in 2008. I believe she passed away at the hospital. But I know that the doctors and the nurses, everyone that cared for her some 12, 13 years ago, or anytime she was sick, was just amazing. So thank you to the nurses and the practitioners, even the janitors, thank you. But then also I think Antoine Jameson is a cousin of mine. I don't know. My father said he was, I think, or I don't know.
I mean, he's a cousin of mine too. We all love Antoine. I like that.
Yeah, so my personal connection is how much they care for my grandmother. Awesome.
Fresh vanilla, rocky road, chocolate peanut butter cookie dough.
Okay, Adam, before we move forward with the show, we have a rare addendum to one of the interviews.
It's like a footnote, kind of.
Yeah. So the interview with Nikki Carr was over, and then she said, oh, actually, I want to do one more thing. Do you guys mind if I do one more thing? I just want to say some thank yous to the people who made all this possible. And we said, oh, yeah, that's no problem. Adam, there was something unique about this last little bit. So let's play it for you, and let's see if you can find the Easter egg that's hidden in here. That doesn't feel quite right. Before we let you go, Nikki, what do you need to do? You said you needed one more thing.
Thank you so much, Jones and Steve, for the opportunity to talk with your audience with UNC Chapel Hill Athletics. I'd like to also shout out the Martin Agency, GEICOinsurance.com, not the website, but GEICO Insurance, and for the cast and crew of the tag team, Helps With Desserts. Thank you so much, guys. We rock and roll. Have a great, great, great day, everybody.
So, Steve.
Yes, Angel.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny. We had stopped recording, and she said, can we do this one more thing? We said, yeah, sure. She goes, okay, your names are Angel and Steve, right? And I said, close. I mean, I get that, as we've discussed before. I get the Angel plenty. Adam, have you ever been called Steve before? You kind of look like a Steve.
I've given this some thought. Do you think that's short for Aristocrat of Tenderness?
You can't spell Aristocrat of Tenderness without S, T, and two E's. The V, maybe you can.
I don't believe I've ever been called Steve before, but if that's what Nikki Carr wants to call me,
yeah,
I will gratefully answer.
Yeah. Now, look, we know Nikki had to thank a certain insurance company for that commercial, but let's be honest. We all know that where it's really at is Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. You know why, Adam? Because they're not just worried about helping you with your insurance needs. They're worried about your safety. They don't want you texting while driving. That takes your eyes off the road for 5 seconds. And at highway speeds, that's like driving the length of a football field with your eyes closed. Ra-Ra Dilworth would have run you down and tackled you from behind easily at this point. Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina want you to stay safe behind the wheel. Put down your phone while driving. Let's have a hands-free NC to learn more. TrustedChoice.com. Find an agent near you. Again, that is TrustedChoice.com. Adam, are you prepared for the 5-second challenge?
I doubt it. Steve has been studying furiously. Okay. You have to talk into the microphone. That's okay. One thing I've learned.
Sorry.
I'm big time podding.
I was getting my clock.
It always concerns me when you get out the big record book because there's like 600 pages of data.
Yeah. I'm on page 328, Adam.
Okay. I remember it well.
Adam. Hubert Davis
right.
has recently been named the brand new head coach of Carolina basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, in the past, there have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 previous head coaches of Carolina basketball. Now, you can't say Roy Williams, Matt Doherty, Dean Smith, Bill Guthridge, or Frank McGuire.
What the heck?
No, we all know those coaches, Adam. So, how many of the previous 14 head coaches of Carolina basketball prior to Frank McGuire can you name in 5 seconds? Adam, your 5 seconds start now.
Tom Scott, Ben Carnevale.
Time. Mm-hmm.
That guy whose name is right on the tip of my tongue.
So, Adam.
I wasn't expecting that one.
Adam, you did well. Both your answers were correct.
Yeah.
Tom Scott, head coach. Actually, he was the coach right before Frank McGuire.
Yeah.
From 1946 to 52.
Yeah.
Including taking the Tar Heels to the national championship game. No, wait, no. Actually, that was Ben Carnevale who took them to the national championship game in 46. And then Tom Scott took over after that. So you got Ben Carnevale and Tom Scott correct. Carnevale, 1944 to 46. Tom Scott, 46 to 52. Are you ready for the other 12 head coaches that you did not know?
Yes.
Or did not name?
Right.
1910 to 1914. Nat Cartmel. Yeah. That's the one you were thinking of.
Yeah.
First head coach in Carolina history.
And I had Cartwright Carmichael in my mind, and I wanted Cartmel.
Yeah. 1914 to 1916, Charles Doak.
Didn't know that one.
1916 to 1918, Hal Peacock. He was 14-7 in his 2 years.
Didn't call enough timeouts, though.
19-18-19, so just one season. Rennie Cuthbertson. For 2 years, 19-19-21, Fred Boy. Then, Adam, I think an underrated part of Carolina basketball that never gets mentioned, the Tar Heels didn't have a coach for 2 years. They just didn't have one. They played, but they didn't have a coach. And, Adam, they were 30-7 in those 2 years. Maybe this whole coach thing's overrated. Then, Adam, the head coach of the Thank You Very Much Helms Foundation, national champions in 1924, Norman Shepherd. I bet you could have gotten that one had you had more than 5 seconds.
You know what I always say, though, when I think of Norman Shepherd?
Norman Spear.
Norman Dale.
Oh.
The guy from Hoosiers.
Norman Spear was part of the Victory Bell.
That's right.
Shenanigans. One season, the 24-25 season, Monk McDonald.
That's tough that Norman Shepherd wins the Helms Foundation title retroactively, and then he's out.
Well, what a stretch here where Shepherd goes 26-0 in his 1 year. Monk McDonald goes 20-5, and then Harlan Sanborn in his 1 year goes 20-5. I mean, Adam, 66-10.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. 1926-31, James Ashmore. 1931-35, George Shepherd. 1935-39, Walter Skidmore. 1939-44, Bill Lang. Those your previous head coaches in Carolina basketball history. Before the Frank McGuire era.
Right.
None of those coaches, Adam, had a losing record. None. The closest was actually Nat Cartmell. He was 25-24.
I think the coaching hires were a little different in that era than they are now.
Who can do this? Who's got free time after their PE class on Wednesday to go coach up the boys, coach up the White Phantoms?
Does anybody know how to play this game with the peach baskets?
So, Adam, you got two. I didn't think you were going to get more than four. I thought maybe Nat Cartmell, maybe Norman Shepherd. The rest of them, come on.
Yeah. Do you think there's anyone who knows all those by heart? I bet Steve Kirshner does.
I bet our friend David Culp could name a lot of them.
That's probably true.
I don't know if he can name all of them, but yeah. I bet he sat there and paused this podcast and rolled off like seven of them.
Do you think Hubert Davis is going to sit either in his little office or in the big office at some point over the summer and commit all those to memory?
Say, boys, Harlan Sanborn would be proud today. Hal Peacock, what a name. What a run they had from Hal Peacock to Rennie Cuthbertson to Fred Boy.
If you had said those names and said, what do these people have
in common? What do they all have in common? And you're going to say, were they railroad conductors?
Were they sidekicks on sitcoms? Oh, you know how Rennie Cuthbertson is.
Well, Steve, not bad. Not bad. Okay, let's get to our Champions Watch, brought to you by UNC Health. You can see their lineup, which is dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds and to help keep you in the game and at your very best. You can see that lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports. unchealthcare.org/sports. Adam, who will you be keeping an eye on this weekend?
We've got to look at the top-ranked field hockey Tar Heels today, Friday. 4 o'clock, they are at Virginia. The Cavaliers ranked 12th in the country in the most recent coaches poll. That match is on ACC Network Extra. Busy, relatively busy weekend. All the spring sports teams that you know and love in action, including, of course, track, the Tobacco Road Challenge in Durham. So all sorts of stuff going on around Carolina Athletics as the Tar Heels continue to be very successful in the spring.
Okay. Adam, why don't we get to your list?
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
Just a few items today on the list. I assume you saw that Bryce Johnson tweeted about Skittles and sent people into a frenzy.
I did, and obviously, number one, Bryce Johnson, former pod guest.
I'm Bryce Johnson, and see you later, Big Grits.
Number two, Bryce Johnson, terrific basketball player for the Tar Heels and terrific guy. Number three, Bryce Johnson, very smart about his love for Skittles. Here is where I differ from Bryce Johnson, Adam. I've said this before, because another one of our good friends, B-Dot.
What's happening? I'm B-Dot, the unofficial mascot of Tar Heel basketball, and see you later, Big Grits.
Jumped into the Skittles conversation with Bryce Johnson. Mm-hmm. And B-Dot said that he was all in on the purple bag, which is like that either. I'm not sure if it, I think it's the berry. It's like the berry blast version or something where they're all some form of different type of Skittles. It's not just the traditional Skittles. And there's, I think it's like wild berry or something. And look, B-Dot and Bryce Johnson are not alone. I know, for example, my wife loves the purple bag of Skittles.
Really?
I am solely traditional Skittles. I've said that before. I am only traditional Skittles. Give me the normal bag of Skittles. I don't want the other bags. I don't want the tropical. I can look at our Skittle shelf. I don't really want the yogurt Skittles. I don't really want the giant European Skittles. I just want regular Skittles. Now, we appreciate everybody we really should get a wild berry bag and a tropical bag, honestly, just to complete the collection over there. But I just want regular Skittles with lime.
Purple is wild berry.
Yeah.
Do you think it was difficult for Bryce Johnson to be in such close proximity to our Skittles shelf when he was in studio?
Yeah, maybe he just didn't look down there and notice it. He probably just didn't see it. It's at the bottom level.
I agree that I
want Skittles. I don't want the wild berry.
I never even think of the purple bag as being real Skittles.
No, but there is definitely a subset of the population who likes that a lot better than regular Skittles.
You learn something new every day. I want to get your thoughts on this very important current political hot button issue.
Okay.
State lawmakers want to make ACC basketball tournament Friday a North Carolina holiday. Mm. This is from WTVD. Some state lawmakers have plans to turn an unofficial statewide holiday into an official one. North Carolina Senator Sarah Crawford, who represents part of Wake and Franklin counties, along with North Carolina Senator Natalie Murdoch of Durham County, are sponsoring a bill to make the Friday of the ACC men's and women's basketball tournaments a state holiday. Crawford calls the ACC tournament a way of life, saying the day should officially be added to North Carolina calendars.
Okay. Here's the problem with that, Adam. I don't disagree with the spirit of what they're trying to do. The Friday is now the semifinal round, and the games are at night.
Yeah, have you not looked at a schedule?
I think they are thinking, of course, of good old years past where it was quarterfinal Friday.
Right.
But that day's Thursday now. And it's not as easy to make just a rando Thursday a holiday. Friday, no, look, I mean, let's be honest. Most people aren't going to argue about that point. Like, most people are going to be like, yeah, I only work like 30% of a Friday anyway. Except for Adam and...
If that.
Right. Except for Adam and me. We are 100% grind all the time.
Right.
Hashtag no days off. But I don't think that works anymore. And, the games are at night. You don't need the holiday. I'm not trying to cost anybody a holiday. Don't get me wrong. But you don't need a holiday when the games are at 7 and 9. Like, make the Thursday a holiday. Then everybody's just going to take Friday off anyway because they already had Thursday off. They're like, well, I'm not going back to work for a day. That's stupid. We could just make the whole tournament a holiday, but it's like 8 days long now. And nobody cares about taking off work to watch. Well, I'm not going to name any teams, Adam. But I bet you could guess which one I'm going to say. Mauston Ballage.
Do you think this bill was sitting on their desk since 1989 and they just now were able to submit it?
Yeah.
Because in 1989, I would have strongly supported this bill.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget, so they want to make women's and men's, that's two straight Fridays. Back-to-back Fridays, you're off. Even when really there aren't any games during the day.
You know what was, I don't know why I thought about this the other day. Remember those couple of years when for some reason they had the number one seed play the like 9 seed.
Yeah.
And then they got the next, whoever won got the next day off.
Yeah.
And then didn't play again until Saturday at the time.
It was because they didn't want 8 and 9 to feel bad
yeah.
about playing each other, which was so dumb.
Yeah. Guys, look, Clemson and Florida State have played each other for 17 consecutive years in this 8-9 game, with excluding when Les Robinson was at NC State. And so we should just have – we'll have whoever is the number one seed play the 9 seed. They can beat them by 40 and then hang out and then go play on Saturday. It was really weird.
It really made absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Solely to make teams not feel bad for finishing last. They already know they finished last. Also, does it make you feel a lot better to get your brains beat in by the best team rather than having a chance to beat Mostyn Mollage?
Yeah. So, odd time in tournament history.
People really want to make sure that you know about everything going on with Top Shot.
Yeah,
Edwin
look,
Scott.
Look, I'm going to tell y'all something. Every time you send me one of these tweets where it's like, oh, look, they sold Top Shot for $80 billion. That's fine. It's a paper tiger. Actually, it's not even paper. It's a digital tiger. It means nothing. Keep sending them. It doesn't bother me.
Edwin Scott would like you to know that Top Shot raised $305 million, putting them at a $2.6 billion evaluation.
Who'd they raise them for? Charity? That's what I would have done if I was in Top Shot's spot. No big deal. If I'd have raised that money, I'd have given it to charity. Congrats, Top Shot, for keeping it to yourself.
I also saw on Instagram that Harrison Barnes has some Top Shot, and we know he is smart.
Adam, let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being extraordinarily surprised and 1 being not surprised at all, how surprised are you that Harrison Barnes owns Top Shot? 1 to 10.
And that he put something on Instagram about
yeah.
it?
Yeah. What's your 1 to 10? It's a 1. Just say it.
Yeah, it's a 1. I did like what he did. So he put his Top Shot, I don't know if that's what you call it, in some sort of
NFT,
case.
Adam.
Yeah, he put it in some sort of case so you could like sit it on your desk. And he had Michael Jordan's Vince Carter's last shot in the NBA. And so I guess like if you walk into Harrison Barnes's office, which clearly he has, and you want to watch Vince Carter's last shot, he's got it right there on his desk in a case. That's cooler than I've got it on my imaginary crypto wallet or whatever. Are you not participating in the pod anymore? Oh, you're looking up Vince Carter's last shot.
Adam. Check it out.
Yeah, it's that exact shot right there.
Here's Vince Carter's last shot in the NBA right here on my desk. Please give me $4 million, Adam. I've gone to this website where, by the way, I heard there was a fantastic feed, Tar Heel Athletics. This new website called it might be YouTube. I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it. And there it is, right there. I'm just going to watch it.
Not only that, it looks like there's multiple different versions of this.
Yeah, I'm just going to watch it. Because you know what? This, here it is. Boy, these are going to be an emotional 2 minutes. Oh, here comes Vince Carter checking in.
3, and hit it.
Hold on, let's just watch that again.
They're going to give it to Vince. He's going to take a 3, and hit it.
You owe me a lot of money, sir.
I don't know how Vince could get that shot off over the ferocious defense of the New York Knicks on that play. Wow. They might as well have slapped the floor. Okay, so Jones not in on Top Shot, as we know.
You can send me all the articles you want. Send them to Adam because I'm not going to look at them.
However, when our close personal friend David Gardner tells us about important real stocks, we're in on this. Shopify.
Yeah. And look, I'm not knocking Jeb Terry or anybody who likes him. I just don't think it's going to happen. But maybe it will. Harrison Barnes and Jeb Terry are both smarter than me. So maybe they know and I don't. But I do know this, Adam. I just watched that on YouTube.
Okay. Another former pod guest, Kent Emanuel.
I'm Kent Emanuel. See you later, Big Grits.
Had a really good spring with the Astros. Great to see him back. He was on the pod on August 28th of 2020. If you want to go back and hear about his long road to come back, but after all he has been through, glad to see him having some success.
Adam, we have a I had a little mini how can you justify that?
I do not have to justify.
How can you justify what you've done?
How can you possibly justify that?
So it really was much more relevant when I wrote it down a couple of, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago now. But, and it's hard for me to even get worked up about it. And yet it still rings true how incorrect this statement was. Of course, we know that Adam has like a all-time team of his boys, right? And one of the captains of that team is Andy Katz.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam, Andy Katz, I'm sure you saw this. He was oddly placed into the studio with Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley and Ernie Johnson.
Did you at any moment think that they wanted him there?
No.
There wasn't one second when they were on my television together that I thought, A, that they in any way respect anything he has to say, or B, that as soon as he walks away, they're not rolling their eyes and being like pointing at him like, that guy.
Right. So at some point in this NCAA coverage, and I don't even remember when it was now because it was a while ago, Andy Katz was talking about Gonzaga and was saying that he felt like they were going to win the national championship and said at some point, well, of course, you know, they should have won the 2017 national championship. And it had to be Kenny, which, by the way, how can you, if you're a Tar Heel, how can you not love Kenny Smith?
Yes.
You may not agree with everything he says or whatever, but he's going to defend the Tar Heels going down swinging no matter what. And he's going to rep the heels. Love Kenny Smith. We know Adam does.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny Smith, Winnie Cooper, and Adam. That's his dream dinner, if you ask him.
That's who Steve wants at his table.
Yeah. Steve, Winnie, Kenny. And then, so somebody, I think, asked him what he means by this, and he was like, well, you remember that out-of-bounds play? And so I racked my brain at him. The only thing I could think of was there was the key jump ball late in the game where, if I remember the sequence correctly, Tar Heels were up one. Luke May and Kennedy Meeks hustling like they did, tied up a loose ball on the ground, and Carolina had the possession arrow. And then I think, again, if my sequence is right, that's when the ensuing possessions, when Isaiah Hicks hit that little one-handed push shot in the paint, put the heels up three, then we know what happened after that. All of it was awesome. And Kennedy Meeks, as he's fighting for the ball, there's that moment where his hand may or may not. Look, if we had lasers on the baseline, we'd know this answer, yep. Brian Kersey.
We could have a definitive answer, but we choose not to.
Yeah. Allegedly, Kennedy Meeks' hand may have crossed the baseline while he was fighting for possession of the ball along with Luke May and a Gonzaga player. Maybe that big mountain man guy. I don't remember who it was. But so, the fact that Andy Katz just decides to, like, throw this in as a side comment as if it's somehow like number one fact, which I don't believe it to be, and number two, as if that play decided the game. Look, Adam, I don't know if you know this, but the Tar Heels had the lead when Chris Webber called timeout that time. I don't know if you know that or not. And the Tar Heels had the lead before this play occurred. So to just haughtily and carelessly throw this comment out, it rubbed me the wrong way, Adam. And it, the more I talk about it, the more I do feel as though it definitely deserves a how can you justify that.
I also think it provides you a nice little window into Andy Katz that he has held on to this play.
Yeah. He and Seth Davis are probably texting about it all the time. Like, can you believe they didn't say Kennedy Meeks was out of bounds?
Seth, I just woke up at 3 a.m. and I just want to remind you that Kennedy Meeks was out of bounds and Gonzaga would have definitely won that game in their first national championship.
And by the way, I really applaud the officiating in that ACC tournament semifinal between the Tar Heels and Florida State.
I'm trying to think of a call so egregious that it was so blatantly terrible that I think of it in my mind as, well, the other team should have won that game. Like what he said about the championship
right.
game.
Yeah, as if it was just like this accepted fact.
I mean, that's like if the goaltend in the ACC tournament semifinal had been the last shot of the game and Florida State won by one.
Right.
That would be, in my mind, well, I mean, we know the Tar Heels should have won that game.
The only one I can think of, but it didn't change the outcome. I mean, it didn't I wouldn't say it definitively changed the outcome of the game. Was the Strickland dunk on Kyle Singler that time. Which, excuse me, the Baden Jackson dunk on, who formerly known as Dexter Strickland, dunk on Kyle Singler, because that was, took some momentum away. I believe it was Dexter's second foul, took him out of the game a little bit. So that one is a call that bothered, but that happened in the first half. I mean, anything could have happened.
Okay, well, now you've got me thinking, now I'm going, this might be painful for Brian Kersey. Tyler Zeller getting pushed in the back.
Absolutely. Now, that is one that I agree with. And we let me just preface this by saying that no matter what you guys tweet us, we like and respect Brian Kersey. We always have a great time talking with him. He's always super nice to us. We enjoy our relationship with Brian Kersey. However, Adam, this doesn't get talked about enough. The Austin Rivers game. Remember, Duke had like a wild sequence of events that ended up allowing them to eventually win on Rivers' three-point shot. One of which was Tyler Zeller tipping in a rebound into the Duke basket and giving them points on a play where he was blatantly shoved in the back. And while he was like flying out of bounds, that's when his hand hit the ball and it went into the basket. The official that day, Adam, was our friend, Brian Kersey. And Brian Kersey, I bet if we put some truth serum into Brian Kersey's morning coffee, he would say that he missed that call. And that's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but I assume...
I mean, we're not over it, clearly.
I mean, I assume I'm mature enough in my life now to not hold a grudge against Brian Kersey almost 10 years later. I'm mature now, Adam.
That is an example. Carolina should have won that game were it not for that no call. That's the one that comes to my mind most immediately. That's how you know this isn't the Wolfpack Insider, because they would just pull out the scroll of all the events that have occurred in which officials somehow demoralize them.
All right. This show, we're going to be going through seasons 1952 and 1953. This will be a seven-hour show. It was the Dixie Classic.
Volume 6, The Swofford Years.
Oscar Robertson was in town with Cincinnati. Okay, Adam, should we end with the story time?
Yes.
It's a good one. This comes from Daniel Potter. And Adam, I mean, it was a slam dunk for us to read it on this show because the title of the email is A Very Hubert Story Time. Where else could we go? So let's get Mr. Goose Honkers out. He's out living his life in the springtime. But he's nice enough to rejoin us now because Daniel's story starts like this. I, Daniel, was lucky enough to be a student at Carolina in 2010 when Hubert Davis returned to Chapel Hill from his time on game day. I got to fact check this. Wasn't Hubert's first season 2013? The 12-13 season?
With the Tar Heels?
Yes.
I believe so. He had been an assistant coach for 9 years.
Right. This says I was lucky enough to be a student in 2010 when he returned to Chapel Hill from his time on game day.
Let's don't get bogged down in the details.
Yeah. Okay. During that fall semester, we had a chance meeting when he invited our campus ministry to dinner at his house. A lifelong Tar Heel fan with a chance to hang out with a Tar Heel legend, Daniel says, what a bonanza.
Wait a minute. Do you think Daniel was actually at Jared Haas's house or something all this time? Not Hubert Davis is a nice guy. Actually, it was Jared.
Daniel had just transferred back home to Chapel Hill to fulfill a lifelong dream of being a Tar Heel, just like Hubert. He was coming home to fulfill a destiny that he'd always known but had yet to realize. And here's what's so special about that meeting. It was a beautiful, warm fall afternoon in October. Not the well or the bell. The group got to the Davis house and were greeted in the warmest possible way with the treat that apparently had stolen Coach Davis's heart. Ooey gooey bars. That's just a little detail that you know this story's factual.
Yeah.
After hearing stories of his life in basketball, learning about how central faith was to his life, and getting to know the wonderful Davis children, it was time to do the only thing one does when visiting a revered Carolina basketball star. They took to the driveway court for some shooting around and playing a spirited game of knockout. During one of the rounds, as the participants dwindled, Daniel found himself head-to-head, Adam, with the future head coach of the Tar Heels, Hubert Davis. At this, I'm reading Daniel's words as they are written. As a large man, the summer heat had taken its toll on me, and I was incredibly, in all caps, sweaty. But I was in hog heaven because I got to shoot free throws against the man himself. And that's when he ruthlessly eliminated me on his first shot, following my first and only, nice brag there, Daniel, miss. Daniel's consolation prize was a picture with the champ himself. Or at least that's what Daniel thought. As the basketball dwindled down and the sweat poured, the polo shirt Daniel had worn to try to look presentable was now disgusting. A friend was headed back to campus for a minute, and after failing to convince him to bring me a replacement shirt or at minimum some deodorant, Daniel was despondent. But not for long. Because when learning of the situation, Coach Davis went to his closet and presented Daniel with a beautiful Carolina blue and navy pinstripe polo shirt. He literally, says Daniel, gave me the shirt off his back. The item started out as a loaner, but Daniel never returned it to him. Now, 10 years later, the Hubert Davis shirt is part of my go where you go, do what you do routine. It's a lucky shirt that's seen many a Tar Heel victory, and I know it will see many more. Perhaps one day soon, Daniel will send it back for an autograph. And once signed, it will retire, resigned to hanging on my wall. But until then, Daniel looks forward to wearing this lucky Hubert shirt as I cheer on a coach for whom being a Tar Heel means as much as it has always meant to me. Yeah, yeah, that's right, Adam.
Daniel said he was going to tweet us a picture of the shirt, but I don't think he ever did. But I can see this shirt in my mind, and I think I know which one he's talking about. I mean, not this specific one. Do you think if he sends it back to Hubert to get signed, Hubert will be like, there's my shirt?
Yeah.
Been wondering where that was.
Finally, the final piece of the puzzle is back together.
That Potter took my shirt and never brought it back.
I mean, if there's one thing Hubert Davis is probably struggling for, it's UNC gear. So, Daniel, please get that shirt back ASAP. No, that's a good one. And don't forget, you can send us story times. We have a good Roy Williams one as well that we'll get to eventually. But CarolinaInsiderPod@gmail.com is our email address.
You know you've been sitting on all those Hubert stories. Yeah. Now's the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Now's the time for your Hubert stories.
The facts only have to be partially right, as Daniel proves.
Yeah, get pretty much in the correct years and have pretty much the correct details and then drum it up some to make it sound better. Boom, story.
Adam, do you have anything else that we need to discuss?
I do not believe so.
Okay, so we don't have a Reese Davis or Jay Billis, see you later, Big Ritz. Although Jay Billis has been on the pod before. He was one of our very first guests. I mean, I would say like one of our first 10 shows Jay Billis was on.
I'd be disappointed if someone told me that Reese Davis wasn't a nice guy.
He seems like a very nice guy. I do not know Reese Davis in any way other than seeing him on TV, as many of us have. He seems like a very nice guy.
We know Jay Billis is a nice guy, of course, but I just don't know Reese Davis as well. But my perception of him, very nice gentleman.
So, Adam, we do, of course, have Nikki Carr.
Right, yeah.
Let me ask you, should we put Coach Davis in here one more time just to wrap up the week that has been?
I can't imagine that there would be a better way for him to feel more like he is the head coach of the Tar Heels than when he tunes into the Carolina Insider, as he does daily, to hear himself
trying to catch up, trying to catch up on all these past episodes,
giving a see you later big grits, because he really enjoyed getting to do it, I felt like.
Yep. So we're going to let Hubert Davis and Nikki Carr scoop, there it is, and the RZA get us out of here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
I'm Hubert Davis. See you later, big grits.
See you later, big grits. This is Nikki Carr from the Geico commercial. Sprinkles!
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat.
See you later, big grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network, brought to you by Crumley Roberts. Visit CrumleyRoberts.com today to find out how they can stand up for you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.